Hare Krishna. The more we comprehend Krishna's transcendence, the more we cherish his munificence. Suppose there are prisoners in a jail and they have been in jail for so long that they have almost forgotten about the world outside. And not only they do not know that there is a world outside, they don't even know that there is a head of state, say there is a prime minister of the country who rules the country in whose jail they are. Now, if the prime minister even comes in, they will think, so what's great about it? And even the prime minister, say, gives amnesty and offers to release them if they reform, then if they have forgotten about the life outside, they will think, what's so great about the jail doors being opened? They will not appreciate that munificent offer. But if there are among the jail staff, there are some people who are into educating the prisoners, and they tell them about the freedom available outside, and they tell them about how the prime minister is such a powerful person, and the prime minister has personally come to give them freedom. And the more they understand the position of the prime minister, and the more they will appreciate the extraordinary generosity of the prime minister. So something similar applies to us in our relationship with Krishna, especially when he descends in this world. Now, we are souls, eternal spiritual beings, but we are caught in material existence. And we have been in material existence so long, and for so long we have been surrounded by materialistic people, that we don't even know of any life beyond this material. We simply think that this is the only life that there is, and this is the only life that I am meant to live. And with this aspiration, with this conception, even if somebody tells us about spiritual life, even if Krishna actually uses the opportunity to practice bhakti, and thereby he opens the doors out of the prison of material existence towards liberation, we don't appreciate it very much. Even if we come to know about Krishna, still we think that, okay, Krishna is just some historical person, maybe some mythological person, maybe some religion's conception of God. But actually, when we study the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, then we truly understand who Krishna is. We appreciate how he exists in eternal joy in the spiritual world, where he delights in unending love with his devotees. And he descends to this world primarily for our deliverance. He elevates us, he comes here so that we can become attracted to him, so that we can understand what joy awaits us in the reciprocation of love with him and with his devotees, and we can join that world of love. He comes to demonstrate that world of love so that we can become attracted to him. And in this way, this is actually the essential purpose of Krishna's descent, as it is told in 4.9 in the Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo vetti tattvataha tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti so Arjuna. So Krishna says that janma karma chame divine, my birth and my activities, they are divine, they are transcendental. Evam yo vetti tattvataha, one who understands them in truth, tattvataha, tyaktva deham punar janma naiti. Such a person, when they give up their body, they don't take birth again. Naiti mameti. The person comes to me. So essentially what Krishna is telling over here is that actually we become liberated. We attain him when we become attracted to him. And when we appreciate his transcendence, then we also appreciate his munificence. Then we see that the opportunity to practice bhakti which Krishna has provided to us is such a special and rare opportunity. It is an easy way out of this dark dungeon of material existence. And as we cherish his munificence, then we practice bhakti diligently, and thus we attain transcendence. We become united with Krishna in his transcendental abode for an eternal life of ecstatic love. Thank you. Hare Krishna.